I'm not sure where it would be in your Bible, but in my Bible, my notes are in John chapter 16. And I would encourage you to turn there and get ready. This morning, we want to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago, talking about knowing the truth. And if we can get this thing to cooperate, we'll be all set. I suspect somebody has turned it off with this off switch. Aha! Look at that. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we want to learn the truth about the Holy Spirit, and our study started 2 weeks ago talking about the Holy Spirit, who is often called the third person of the Trinity. That does not make him any less than God the Father or any less than God the Son. He is one of three persons, all being God. You say, I don't understand it. Don't worry about it. Don't lose any sleep over understanding the Trinity. Accept it as a fact. The Bible teaches it. It's referenced both openly and covertly, if you please, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the end of the Bible. The last chapter of the Bible says the Spirit and the bride say come. So the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the last chapter of the Bible. He's mentioned in the first chapter of the Bible, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Talking about the earth. Got it all ready? And then God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son began the work of creation. We learn from John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, that Jesus Christ is the creator. But we learn from Genesis chapter 1 that God the Father and God the Son were involved. So we have the Trinity at the beginning of the Bible, we have the Trinity at the end of the Bible, and don't worry about trying to figure out how three can be one. All of you grew up, or at least you older people, with a little red, white, and black can in the cupboard or on the shelf somewheres that said 3-in-1 oil, didn't it? So you got that idea. I don't know what that meant, but I know I've used a lot of it in my life, and most of you have too. And if your sewing machine is not working, I suggest you get out your little 3-in-1 oil bottle. Put a few drops in each one of those holes. You may notice there are holes around you on the top of your sewing machine here and there. They're for putting a little drop of oil down in there. And it will work much better. 3-in-1 oil. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We shall know the truth. The truth shall make us free. And so last time we looked at those pictures of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And he was pictured as fire and oil and water and wind and as a dove. Then we began to look at how he's revealed in the Bible. He was revealed at the Jordan River. And there are three accounts of that same story, one from John, one from Matthew, and one from Mark. All of them picture the baptism of the Lord Jesus at the Jordan by John the Baptizer, and the dove coming down and landing upon his head. And the Bible says it remained on his head. Now, I don't know how long it remained there. The Bible doesn't say. I don't think it was there later on. I don't think Jesus walked around the rest of his 3.5 years with a dove on top of his head. We have absolutely no suggestion of that in Scripture. But for a little period of time, the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus visibly as what? The dove. Now, while we're doing that, let's go back to Moses for just a moment in your thinking, leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and into the wilderness of Midian and around and through and over and around again until finally after 40 years, the Lord allowed them to come to the Jordan River. All that time they were being led and protected by what? A pillar of cloud by day and a flame of fire by night. In other words, in the daytime it looked like smoke, and at nighttime they could see the flame inside the smoke that gave a nice warm ambience to the whole camp. But it also assured them of the presence of God. And it's interesting that knowing that God was there, and God was in that cloud, and God was in that flame over the Holy of Holies in the back of the tabernacle, they still went and did all kinds of terrible things, didn't they? And they made a golden calf, you remember, and said, "This is our God that brought us out of Egypt." What kind of false things could come into their mind with God right there watching and listening to what they were saying? Did you know that God's always listening to what we're saying? Scary thought, isn't it? He's also knowing what we're thinking. That's a scarier thought, isn't it? But the Bible says that's the case. Then he was revealed at Pentecost. And the song that Bob sang 2 weeks ago, I wished he could sing it again today. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So if you want to, we can turn over there to that passage. You probably know it by heart by now. It's Acts chapter 2. And I'll read just a couple of verses because it's long. And I know nobody likes long. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. How many? Well, if you look back in chapter 1, something in the neighborhood of 120 gathered there. Suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the house, whole house where they were sitting. It must have been a pretty good sized house they were meeting in, right? 120 people. You know how many that is? Look around you. There appeared to them the divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages. And then you read on down to verses 9 through 11. And you find there were 15 different languages that they spoke. Was it holy jibber-jabbers? Absolutely not. It was languages of people that had come to Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. And they needed to hear the gospel declared to them in their own language. And so God performed that miracle. And Peter and the others spoke in different languages so the gospel could go forth. Peter preached it in Galilean. I assume he preached it probably in Greek. And then the others translated it to the people so that every man says, "I heard it in my own mother tongue." Isn't that wonderful? The wonderful works of God, verse 11. We hear it in our own tongue, our own language, the wonderful works of God. And then you say, well, what were the wonderful works of God? Well, you then read Peter's message, which starts at verse 14, and it goes all the way down to verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Or in your Bible, it may say pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles. Now, notice, there's your key. The rest of the apostles. So it wasn't just Peter. Peter was preaching the message, but the rest of the apostles was re-preaching it to everybody in their own language. And so the people said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And Peter in verse 38 says, "Repent. Repent." And if God's pricking you in your heart today, what are we to do? Repent. And then let every one of you be baptized. Now, the baptism is not what saved these people. There's a whole denomination that's built on verse 38. And they believe that verse 38 says you got to be baptized in order to be saved. That's not what Peter was saying. Repent. That's number one. Then you go get baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the word for there could have been translated because of. Because of the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what were they looking for? They were looking for a Holy Spirit evidence that they were the children of God. Isn't that what happened to the disciples and the people gathered in the upper room? Now you say, well, how come I don't get a whole wind and fire on my head? I have no idea. The Lord only did that three times. Chapter 2, chapter 10, and chapter 19. And each one, it was a selective group that he did it to. Other than that, when people get saved, there's no fire and there's no wind. But there's the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that bears witness with your spirit that you are now a child of God. Amen? Well, let's look at the Holy Spirit revealed in Scriptures. And so I'm going to break those scriptures down this morning, and I'm going to do it this way. First of all, he is a convictor. That's back in John chapter 16. He's a convictor. And that was where you first ran into the Holy Spirit, sometime in your past. Somewhere you heard the gospel. Could have been Sunday school, could have been church, could have been an evangelistic meeting, could have been somebody at work, could have been somebody at school. And if we ask this morning, I didn't cover everything, did I? Your situation may have been different. You may have been a child. I was 5. You may have been an older person. You may have been a teenager. You may have been a young adult. You may have been an old adult. Somewhere the gospel hit your ears and filtered into your heart, and you felt the convicting work of the Holy Spirit that says, you're a filthy, rotten sinner, and you need salvation through Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit into what I just said, the Holy Spirit worked. And if there's never been a time when that happened to you, you are not saved. Because you're only saved if the Holy Spirit has convicted you and brought you into the family of God. But that's not the end. Now I'm in the family of God. Is the Holy Spirit done working? Oh, no, he just started. Now he convicts you and me all the time of things in my life and your life, right? Things that we ought not to be doing or thinking or saying or going. When you go places, do you feel the Holy Spirit saying, you don't belong here. This is not where Christians belong. I hope you have that convicting spirit in you. Notice what it says. He convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's see, where am I? Verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, what do we have as our standard for righteousness? We don't have Jesus. He's not here. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But what do we have? What did he leave behind? The Holy Spirit and the Holy Word. Amen. Holy book, Holy Spirit. And between the Holy Book and the Holy Spirit, you and I are led in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And boy, we could go down that bunny trail, but we're not going to today. talking about what God is going to do to the devil. Now, you may say, why in the world has he allowed him to last for 7,000 years? I have no idea. But he has, and it all fits into his divine purpose. Amen? And all that trial and trouble that the devil has put upon us as Christians is all part of the growth plan for God to get us stronger and keep us closer than we'd be otherwise. And so the Holy Spirit is the convictor. And then the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And that's back in chapter 14. In my Bible, I'm still on the same page. I didn't have to flip a page. Maybe you do. But back in chapter 14, starting at verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That is the word comforter. Parakletos. One brought alongside to assist. In other words, a lawyer, a counselor, a comforter. We need all of those things. There are times we need comforting. There are times we need an advocate in our behalf. There are times we need a guide. That's all the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. That's all in that word. All of those things. But notice he's another, and I've mentioned this hundreds of times probably through the years. This word another is the word aleros, which means another of identically the same kind. So he's saying, this is Jesus talking, you understand. You have a red letter Bible, you know that. These are all the words of Jesus. He says, I'm going to give you another helper, comforter, guide, counselor, just exactly like me. The Holy Spirit is not less than Jesus. He is equal to the Lord Jesus. They are both equal to God the Father. Amen? The Trinity, three in one. Even the Spirit of truth. Oh, by the way, notice how long he lasts forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, shall be in you. That's future tense. We've talked about that. We're going to stop there this morning. I would love to continue on for two more, but I don't have time. For once, maybe I will let you out on time. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, my friend, I want you to pay attention to the song we're going to sing, Jesus Loves Even Me, number 495 in your hymn book, number 495. Let's stand as we sing together. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. And the last. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King. Loves me,